All right. Well, God did drop something into my heart. It was when I was looking over a journal that I had journaled in, and I saw this revelation that I had in January of 2005. And I read it, and it hit my heart. And I just wanted to share it with you. And so really, when I preach this, you guys, I am preaching this to myself, and it has been so good for me, just so you know that. Okay, so, oopsie, I don't need this, do I? Can you hear me? Is that okay? All right, good. Turn that one off. What is life? And, you know, if you ask a lot of different people, you're going to come up with a lot of different answers on what people think life is. And so what I did is I just took five types of things people pursue as life. All right, five different types of life, you could say. So my first one is the fairy tale life. The one where you live happily ever after. The prince comes in, swoops in, makes everything better, and you live happily ever after. Everybody wants that kind of life, you know? The other one, the next one, number two, is the active life. This is where the activities of life, the responsibilities of life, just keep going on, and they kind of dictate everything you do, and you're just on the go, 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 go. Okay? You have activities constantly. Number three is the morally good life. And that is the hardworking person who is faithful to their spouse, who's loyal to their friends and family, that treat others as the golden rule says, do unto others as you would do unto me. And that's good, morally good life. Then there's the riches and abundant life. This is all about what I can have, what I can get, and what I can do. And so it's a little more self-centered, but, you know, I mean, you got to admit, at one time or another, we all go through that. Yeah, 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 I want that. Okay, then there's number five, the purposeful life. Wanting to make a difference and do something great. So I looked at all these types of lives, and we all fit into them in some way. So let's just bow and pray. Lord, we surrender our hearts to you today, our hearts and our minds, and we ask you that you would cleanse us and forgive us of anything that we have done that would not glorify you. We ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would let your word come alive inside of us and make a difference. Don't let us stay the same, Lord. Draw us closer to you. I yield to you, Holy Spirit, that the message would come in faith and in power, that it would be your words. We bind the enemy from trying to come in and steal and rob the word of God from our hearts. We want you to be glorified, Jesus. And in your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. I just want to say before I even start this, too, is that everything in the service so far has just matched everything that's going to be said. Your song, the songs that we sang, what Amanda shared, and we didn't plan all this. You know, it was a God, and I just sitting there going, wow, God, wow, God, wow, God, it's just so awesome. So what we are looking to find is, what is life? Well, back in January 15th, 2005, it was a Friday night at a prayer meeting at church, got this revelation. I realized that in the busyness of what I call life, I can miss taking time to start off my day with God and have that quiet time. And then it hit me. It's not the busyness of life, it's the busyness of activities. Because God is life. I was missing out on true life because I was looking to do the good things, looking to follow God and stuff. And I had to be honest with myself. Usually how I started off my day was, okay, God, I got to get this done, this done, this done, this done. All right, be with me, bless this, okay, let's go, you know? And when I read this, it just hit me and slapped me in the face, and it just said, you know what, you need to come to me and say, God, this is the day you made for me. You have it planned. What do you want me to do? I have to get these things done. Could you help me? But what do you want me to do today, Lord? And it's a change of my focus. It's not pursuing activities. It's not pursuing all these other things. It's pursuing God. And when we pursue God, it makes a difference. In Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20. Is anybody up there? Okay. It says, I set before you life and death. So choose life in order that you may live, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding fast to him, for this is your life and the length of your days. So you see, we get it wrong by thinking life is just what we live. Life is God. And it says, I want you to realize that I love you. I want you to obey my voice, so hear me. Then hold fast to me, and I will give you life. And so we see that God is the source of life. And that's just a really, I have to start changing the way I think and transforming my mind. But what I want you to see is that all these five ways that we chase after life, God's life answers every single one of them. He doesn't just give you one or two of them. His life will fulfill all of those five types of life in you. And I want to show you. I am big on the word, holding on to the word, okay? When I pray the word because it's what God says, not what I'm saying. So don't take what I have to say. That's why you are going to get a lot of scriptures today. So if you want to write them down, put a little topic with it, go for it, because you're going to get a lot of scriptures today. So what I want you to see then is that we need to pursue God to get the true life. Now, when you pursue something, I'm the one who pursued Brad, okay? I was attracted to him right away, all right? And I'll tell you, I thought about him a lot. I wanted to be wherever he was, you know? I loved listening to him talk. I thought he was the funniest thing in the whole world, man. You know, he made me laugh. And so my priorities, I kind of always set to be with him. And I pursued him. And it didn't work out the first time, but we got back and he pursued me, so it worked out good. Anyways, but that's what we do when we pursue. We're attracted to somebody. We prioritize our time. We become interested in things we were never even interested in because they are interested in them, you know? So it is. That's what the kind of pursuit that God wants us to have towards him, the kind of attraction he wants us to have towards him. So now you understand when I say pursue, you have a visual of what it means to pursue, okay? Let's go into the very first one. The fairy tale kind of life is living happily ever after. Well, we can't have the happily ever after without Jesus. Because if you look at this world, even after we got married, we thought, oh, it's going to be so wonderful. We're Christians and everything. Well, it didn't work that way. I'll tell you, he's the opposite of me. And all the things I thought were so wonderful because he was opposite of me started to really irritate me because I had to live with it all the time, all right? And they weren't my strengths, they were his strengths. And so it wasn't the happily ever after, you know? And that's how life is. There's strife, there's anger, there's, you know, all these things try to come in, fears, different things that try to rob and steal, okay, the happily ever after. But through Jesus Christ, it says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You see that Jesus is the life. And so if I really want to have the happily ever after life, it's going to come through Jesus Christ. And if we don't accept the gift of what Jesus has done for us, we are never going to get to walk in what true life really is. So John 5:11 and 12 says, and this is the testimony God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. As a believer, each one of us have access to life, the happily ever after. Now the next scripture, Revelation 21:4, shows us the happily ever after. Okay? And he will wipe away every tear from your eyes. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Eternal life in Christ, that life, wipes away everything that sin brought into this world. It wipes away separation from God. It wipes away unforgiveness. It wipes away fear. It wipes away abuse. It wipes away addictions. It wipes away all these things. We are going to have the happily ever after. We are going to have no more tears, no more depression, no more struggles. So do you see, Jesus offers us the happily ever after. We just have to focus on Him and receive what Jesus has. Let's go to life two. The life full of activities. And like I said, this is me. This one hit me in the face. It's not saying that the activities that we do in life aren't good, but sometimes we get sidetracked doing activities that we shouldn't be doing. And they can take our time, because where is our time being held? If I do not have a quiet time before my feet hit the floor from my bed, my life will take me a different direction. Or I let my life take me a different direction, you know, with activities, things that have to be done. And that's not what God has for us. He wants us to have a life full of purposeful activities. You know, He's got a plan. So, Psalms 139, 13 through 15. And I'm just going to kind of paraphrase this one. And it talks about how He knew us before we were in our mother's womb. He knew our frame before we were even thought of. Then, in His book of life were all written the days that were ordained for me. So do you see how God has a plan and a purpose before I was even a thought or seen by my parents? He had all my days ordained for me. How precious are thy thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the stars. God is always speaking to us. But are we hearing what He says? Because our activities are taking us one direction. We don't have time to stop and listen to God. And so this one hit me in the face. I need to make sure I stop every day and listen, because God is trying to speak to me. His thoughts are with me. They outnumber the stars in the sky. And so we need to stop and do that. And then when we do that, then our activities are going to have purpose. They're going to have value. They're going to have impact. And when we do things. And we're not going to be exhausted. Do you know? Activities can exhaust you. Okay, third life, the moral life. Being a good person is nice. But I really hate to say this, there are a lot of good people going to hell. Because they haven't tapped into life, true life. I grew up thinking myself a good person all the time. And when I did something bad, it would devastate me. It would crumble my emotional state. Because that's how I viewed myself, as being a good person. And I didn't live up to my expectations, or I showed some ugliness. I can remember a fight Brad and I had. And he came out of the bathroom, and we had this 3x5 card on the bathroom thing, said, "I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." So after we have this big fight, he comes out and he says, "Do you know I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus?" And I'm like, "No, you're not." But you know what? He grasped what Jesus has done. He repented, and he got rid of his sin. And what he said to me, and this was probably the greatest gift he has ever given me. Greatest gift he's ever given me is, this is the words he spoke to me. He said, "You identify with your sin as who you are. I know I'm a sinner. I know Jesus gave me a new life." We can't identify with our sin nature as who we are. Being a morally good person is a good goal, but nobody can do it. None is perfect, not even one, except for Jesus Christ. So it brings us back to that, John 14:6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by me." It's His ways, it's His truth, brings His life. And so, if we really want to have that morally good life, we have to tap into His ways and His truth. And then we'll have that. In Ezekiel 36:26, it says, Moreover, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. The morally good person wants to do the right thing. They cannot do it unless you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. And so God is saying, I'm going to give you a new life. So you see, you have this old nature, this new nature. We've got to realize the old nature cannot define who we are. It's who Christ says we are. It's our new nature. And we have to release and repent of our old nature when it shows its ugly head and not identify that as who you are. Ephesians 4:24 says, putting on the new life. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, Ephesians 4, I'm paraphrasing again, talks about putting on our new life, which is in God's likeness, righteous and holiness of truth. It's only by the blood of Jesus. It is only by the blood of Jesus that makes us morally right. Because if we have sin, we'll never be morally good. Just one sin taints us. So when we put him on, we get to have forgiveness of sins. And that's what makes us morally right. And so that's the only way we can live that life. Fourth life, the life full of riches and abundance. Everyone dreams of having abundance, taking the vacation to Hawaii, having the summer home, having the big car, lots of cash so you can just go off and do things. Maybe it's a boat, you know. We all have things that we want. But, you know, I see so many people live out of their means and they get in trouble. That's not God's plan. But you know what God's plan is? John 10:10 says, I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. God does want us to have an abundant life. He is not trying to hold back anything from us. You know, he wants us to be spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, and financially blessed. It's all a package deal. So Proverbs 3:13, but you see, we have to follow his way. Remember, it's his way, his truth brings life. So Proverbs 3:13-18, it says, how blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire compares to her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left are the riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who will take hold of her, and happy are those who hold her fast. Do you know, people in the world are always looking for things to make them happy. Money, fame, all that stuff. Look at the movie stars. But most of their lives are a disaster. They're not finding happiness. They don't find happiness with this person. They go to the next person, to the next person, to the next person. You know, or they're having drugs. Or, you know, it's just always something. So things are not the answer. But yet God is not denying us things. He just wants us to keep us in the right perspective. His way, his truth, it'll bring those riches. He's not denying riches to us. He wants to bless his children. He wants us to walk in an abundant life. Because you know why? We're supposed to be different than the world. We are the ones who have the answer. And so God wants that. He wants your happiness. Happiness even in the midst of trials. It says, count it all joy, my children, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. It produces endurance of hanging on to my Father because I know he's a good God and he's going to let something good come out of this horrible situation. Because I can trust in you because you're a good God of life, the God of life. All right. Then the life of purpose. You know, we all want to make a difference and we all want to have a purpose in life. And that's not going to come. I want to just find one sheet that I had here. I don't see it. All right. Well, I'm going to go to the scripture first. Ephesians 3:17-20. This is for those who want to make a difference. And making a difference is a good thing, you guys. But when we make a difference a lot of times it's for us, but it's also for others, but it doesn't have a lasting result because it's not done through Jesus Christ. And he's the one who gives life. Ephesians 3:17 through 20 says, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge." The world will never understand God's love. And we need to receive God's love to be able to understand and comprehend it. You know, because that's where life is. It comes from knowing God. "That you may be filled with all fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we can ever ask, think, according to the power that works within us." We're not alone. The power is in us by the Holy Spirit to live this kind of life, to receive his kind of love. You see, if we really want to do something of importance, we need to first receive the life of God. That's Jesus Christ. Then when we receive that life, no matter what age you are, you can be a five-year-old or you can be an adult. You can be a neurosurgeon or you could be a janitor. And you can share that life with other people. That has value. That has importance because it's eternal. And so many times we want to do, you know, good things, and they are good things. But the eternal thing is the most important thing. And anybody can do that. There's also now, you see that how all five of these fit in. God is not trying to hold back anything from us. So I want to give you three ways, three simple ways that you can start transforming your thinking too, and how to see God as life and not let life just carry you through. So first, stop and listen. We have to stop. If we don't stop the activities, if we don't stop what the world is going on in all the world and take time with God, we are never, ever going to be able to have that life. So many Christians, we're not living the life of God. We're not the example. And it's because we forget to stop and take time with Jesus. We need to take time with him in our busy schedule. Now, you know, if that's not something that you usually do on an every daily basis, just make a determination. 15 minutes. I'm going to stop and give God 15 minutes of my morning before I start the day. And I'm going to listen because I want to tell you there's voices out there. There's voices of MTV music videos. There's the voices of our government saying what's right and what's wrong. There's the voices of just TV itself, voices of your friends, the voices of the world that are going to say their way and their truth. But if we don't get his way and his truth, we won't walk in life. So what voice are we listening to? We need to be listening to the voice of the Word of God. We need to be listening to his voice and getting the truth, so that we can live in the life, that we can have that happily ever after, all that good stuff. In Joshua 1:8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then I will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." When we listen to God's voice, I want to tell you it's not going to be politically correct. And that's probably why he says, be strong and courageous. Hold on to me. Because you're going to have to go against the wave of the world. You're going to be the fish float, you know, going upstream. But I want you to know any dead fish can float downstream, and that's where death is going, you know, when you listen to the world. We have to be those fish that are willing to go against the current. And we need to listen and meditate on the Word of God. All right, stop and listen is the first one. Number two, and this is the one I got convicted on. worship Him. Where do we keep our focus? Where is our focus? Is it on our kids? Is it on our work? Is it on wanting things? What is our focus? Is it on sports? We're kind of a sports community, you know what I mean? So what do we really exalt in our life, put as a priority? Jesus, what He did, He saved us from being separated from God. He took all of our sin. He set us free from death and sickness. He is the one we are called to worship. So take, in that 15 minutes, take time to worship Him with your mouth. And it's not going to feel comfortable at first, because what do you say? Thank you, Jesus. You're good. Thanks, God. Good. Yeah, you're wonderful. You know, I mean, it takes a while. You have to start learning. But as you read the Word, and you're stopping and you're listening and reading that Word, you're going to start saying, Jesus, You set me free from this so that I don't even have to do that. Wow. God, thank You. And it's easier to praise Him as you start to get to know Him. So it's going to have a ripple effect. It's going to be good. And so in Psalms 103, this is one of my favorite. My mom got me hooked on this one. And this takes care of every area of your life. And this is what it says. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who pardons all my iniquities. That means forgives me of all my sins. Who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. I'm so excited to have my youth renewed like the eagle because I'm getting older. So that scripture means a lot to me right now, you know? But I've been praying this scripture almost every day of my life over my family and stuff. And I do thank God. He saved me spiritually from all my sin. He saved me physically from all my sickness and disease. He's redeemed my life from the pit. And do you know what I think that means? Your emotional well-being. He saved you from all the emotional depression and heartache that people face. And then He crowns us with loving kindness and compassion. Another thing worship does, and you see, Amanda is such a good worshiper. Like what you were saying today, I was just like, yes, it was so good. And the heart of worship, we sang that song. And I was just thinking, when we exalt God and make Him really big, He is not the kind of God who's like, yes, I want to be up here and you're the peons that should be worshiping me. He's not that way at all. God says, as you lift me up, I'm going to come back down and I'm going to lift you up with me. I'm going to give you my perspective on life. Do you see? Every problem, I can handle it. You don't have to worry. So as we worship Him and learn to become worshipers, God's going to lift you up with Him. That's awesome. You know, that's life. All right. And the last one. Obey Him. That's the word nobody likes to hear, you know? But we sure like it when our kids do it, you know? So, obey. It's not always a feeling. If your boss tells you, hey, you're going to go clean the toilets today, it's not something you want to do, but you do it because you know you have to. Sometimes that's what obedience is. We have to do it. It's not just a feeling. We do it because it's the right thing to do, and we have to. And that's how we sometimes start out with obedience to God, because the emotions, the feelings aren't there. But as you get to know your Heavenly Father, as you get to experience His presence, He is going to take that little 15 minutes and multiply it, and then He's going to make it so worth obeying Him, because you know what's going to come if you do obey Him. And this is what's going to come, Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2. Blessings. Oops. Here we go. Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, be careful to do all His commandments, which I have commanded you today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth. All the blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord. Did you see what it said? They're not just going to come to you. They're going to overtake you. I want that life. I want that kind of life. And I know Pastor and I want that kind of life for each one of you. We want it to see the Christians rise up and be the kind of life that, yes, we're not afraid to obey. You know, obedience isn't a negative word when you're obeying the one who has the way and is the truth, because he is going to give us the life. And he gives us his Holy Spirit to obey. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." That's personal, dining with somebody. That's saying, "Jesus, I'm going to let you come into my home and deal with the situations in my life." When we open up life, that's what Jesus is to us, life is going to be released in us and in our situations. Ezekiel 18:32 says, "For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord. Therefore, repent and live." Obedience comes with having a repentant heart. It starts off by repenting and turning from our sins. It's the best thing, you guys, having a repentant heart and asking God to forgive you every day or every moment when you sin. And what that means is turning from your sin, turning the opposite direction and saying, "I don't want to do it anymore." And sometimes we're in the place where it's like, "I really like that sin though." And you say, "I hate to kind of give it up because I really like it." So where you have to start is just saying, "God, forgive me for wanting that sin. Help me and deliver me from the desire of that sin, that attraction to that sin." And turn. And you might have to repent over and over and over, but keep doing it because you're going to get the victory, because the Holy Spirit is in you. And that's what we need to do. So I just want to kind of go over these again. Stop and listen. Have that personal time with Jesus. Pray, you know, and don't let the activities of life get in there. Stop and make time for God. Listen to his word. His word is life. Worship him. Thank him. Make him big. Lift him up above all the other things in your life. Start teaching yourself how to praise him with your mouth, with singing. Amanda's always singing. She's like this little praise that just goes around all over the place. She's got a song for everything you say. "Oh, there's a song about that." You know, and she knows it. I love that. But that's not my strength. So that's something I'm going to work on. And then obeying him, repenting and turning from God and getting filled with the Holy Spirit and realizing, you guys, that God wants to give us life. He wants us to have the happily ever after, full of activities and full of purpose, the one that is morally correct and the one that is abundant in riches. And that's what he is offering each one of us. He doesn't hold back from any of us. So let's just bow our heads. I'm going to pray because, you know, if you're really desiring that kind of life, it starts with Jesus.